Governor Romney, welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to join you.
Well, thank you, sir. We just want to get an idea of where you're going to be going with your campaign. There's obviously a big tussle in the amongst the Republicans. It's one of the first free-for-all years that we've had in a long time. What is going to be your message to Republicans that Governor Romney can unite the party and lead them to victory in 2008?
Well, we face some extraordinary challenges, but time and again we found that the heart of the American people are able to rise to the occasion to overcome those challenges. We're going to have to put aside the bitterness and the partisanship. We're going to have to do the kinds of things you do in the private sector, which is bring a lot of people of different backgrounds together to debate issues, to gather data, to do analysis, and to reach consensus and conclusions on a whole series of issues. And we can improve education. We can get health care that's affordable and portable for all of our citizens. We can defeat the jihadists. The kind of optimism which has always been part of America is what we're going to draw upon to do what needs to be done, and that is to have an America which is more safe and more prosperous for our kids and our grandkids.
Now, you're talking about defeating the jihadists. Obviously, this week and last week, the big topic of conversation has been the surge in Iraq, and there's a lot of pushback on this particular topic. Where do you see yourself on the war in Iraq? Do you feel that we should be committing more resources to it to fight what we've got out there, or are you a little bit less comfortable with that than the president is?
Well, as long as there is a reasonable probability that there is a pathway to success in Iraq, and I believe that pathway does exist and it's reasonably probable, then we should pursue that effort. Because allowing Iraq to divide into three different nations has a great deal of risk associated with it. That's something that a lot of people are suggesting we do, but recognize that there's a lot of risk. Iran can reach across the border and try and grab the Shia portion of Iraq. The Al-Qaeda can be much more involved in the Sunni portion of Iraq. The Kurds can get extensively involved with the Turks and cause difficulties there. So the potential of regional conflict is high. So as the next step, the right step is to add additional brigades into Baghdad to pursue with the Iraqi government stability in Baghdad, to set a timetable and a series of milestones, not for public consumption, but for our own military and for our political leadership. And if we make progress along that timetable and milestones, terrific. If we don't, then we have other options.
Governor Romney, we're talking with Mitt Romney, presidential candidate, governor of Massachusetts. It looks likely at this point that should you win in 2008, you may still be facing a Congress that is heavily Democrat, heavily against the war, heavily pro-withdrawal, pro-cut-and-run in many respects. How do you see yourself dealing with life as a minority president should you win in 2008?
You know, I've had a lot of experience being in an executive position where I have a very Democratic legislature. My legislature is 85% Democrat.
I left that door wide open for you there, Governor.
And, you know, I found that we were able to find some common ground, not all the time. There were some things like the death penalty where I fought for it, and they said no way. But there were other issues where we agreed. I said I didn't want to raise taxes. I didn't want to borrow more money. They said, okay, let's see what kind of a budget you can come up with, Governor. And I cut the spending. And in fact, they passed something very close to my budget. We didn't raise taxes. So, you know, you can get things done with with the opposition party. I did find that I had to put aside the attacks. I never made, that I can recall, personal attacks, vindictive kind of forays into the leadership of the Democratic Party. Instead, I focused on issues. If we disagreed on issues, I pointed those things out. But you have to build a relationship of respect, even with the opposition, even when you disagree vehemently with them.
That's why I could never be a governor. But let me follow up that question, Governor Romney. On your website, you come across as suitably hawkish on the war on terror. This seems like a very, I mean, you've obviously bridged some gulfs, if you will, in your term as mayor, or governor, rather, of Massachusetts. But this is a big one. The fundamental difference in comprehension of what the war we're facing is between yourself, who have a very sensible view from my point of view, and the opposition in Washington, who, quite frankly, do not. How do you see reaching some sort of concord with people who are so very, very opposite from you and I on this issue?
Well, first of all, I go back to what Senator Vandenberg said, old senator from Michigan years ago. He said that politics ends at the water's edge. And I think we're going to have to sit down with Democrats and with, by the way, some Republicans on this issue and say, let's talk about what we agree on and what we disagree on. I think there is a basic misunderstanding as to who the jihadists are, what they want to do, and what Iraq's role is in this. Because Iraq is only one front in a major campaign against us by jihadists. Iran is at the heart of this. When I talk about this jihad effort, Iran, a nuclear Iran, would completely change the dynamics. And we're going to have to sit down with our leaders on both sides of the aisle, and instead of just looking for political gain for a month or a week, a year, or a couple of years, we're going to have to look at what's in the long-term interest of the United States of America. And in my view, as long as there's a window of success that's available to us in Iraq, that's something we should pursue. If it closes, why we have to go on to Plan B? But the idea of just cutting, coming home, and assuming everything's going to be fine, don't forget, they attacked us on 9/11. We hadn't done anything. They're not going away. And they're going to get worse, particularly if Iran were ever able to develop nuclear weaponry.
Governor, in the year 2000, we elected a president who was who governed a state that had a significant Democratic contingent in the legislature, and he said he was going to come to Washington as a uniter and not a divider. And I think the challenge was just as bad then as you're going to face in 2008 if you win. One of the aspects of George Bush's presidency, though, has been a marked increase in non-defense spending that has gotten the conservative wing of the party pretty well riled up against Bush. How are you going to handle the non-discretionary spending? Are you going to try to reduce government, or are you going to try to at least rein in that spending?
Well, you can look at my record as governor of Massachusetts and get a sense of that. When I came in, our budget was $3 billion out of balance, and I cut spending. I cut it in a whole series of areas, not in education, by the way. That's not where I cut it. I didn't cut it for the homeless, because those are folks that don't have any other choices. But I cut spending in a number of areas. And interestingly, 4 years later, our state government has substantially expanded the state police. It's the largest state police force our state has ever had. But our overall state employment, state government employment, that is down some 600 jobs. We haven't grown. We have shrunk government. And that's what you have to do at the federal government level as well. Now, the real challenge, of course, is not just in the pork barrel spending and the earmarks and so forth. The real challenge is in the entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. And interest will soon make up over two-thirds of federal spending. And we fundamentally have to reform those programs so that we can honor our promises to seniors and at the same time keep our nation from becoming financially in distress.
We're actually going to sort of follow the lead of Europe here in growing these entitlement programs to the point where the entire economy is doing nothing much more than supporting a nanny state. Where do you think we can either reduce benefits or tighten the requisites for those and reform things like Social Security and especially Medicare, which is actually about eight times the problem that Social Security is.
Yeah, what's your short list for cutting things here?
you are right. And one of the things I should tell you here is that it's time for the Democrats to tell us what they would do, because last time the president came out with a pretty modest series of reforms in Social Security, and he put some reforms on the table and then said to them, hey, what are your ideas? And they said, we have no ideas, there's no problem. Talk about a disingenuous response. So I'd like to hear from them what they're going to do. But we know in the area of Social Security, for instance, that benefit adjustments for people of higher income is something which has been discussed. People have talked about raising the tax rate. That is something I oppose. People have also spoken about extending the time period that you continue working, the retirement age. That's something I also don't think is as good an idea as benefit adjustments, but that's something which we're going to have to discuss and debate among two parties. You are right, however. Medicare is the big one. And solving Medicare is going to require a resolution of a number of challenges in our entire healthcare arena. And that's why we in our state have been able to put in place a healthcare reform provision that I think helps bring market dynamics to healthcare, will slow the rate of inflation in healthcare, and fundamentally that's what has to be done to get Medicare on a trajectory where it can keep up with its promises.
Governor, you heard the president speak at the State of the Union address about his plan for about health care. Is that similar to what you tried to implement in, or that you did implement, excuse me, in Massachusetts? Is that the same type of thing, or was yours a little different than that?
Well, ours was pretty expansive because we said we didn't want to have any more people in our state that didn't have health insurance. We mandate everybody to have health insurance that's affordable and portable. Of course, companies provide most people their insurance, and Medicaid and Medicare are still operating in our state. But we had about 7% of our population uninsured, and we said to them, we're going to get the premiums down so you can afford them, and if you can't afford them, you got to buy them. If you can't afford them, we'll help you buy them. But no more free ride. We brought workfare to healthcare and insist that people help pay for their healthcare. And that's a fundamental adjustment in the way we've thought about providing healthcare in this country. The president in his State of the Union address did something which is very helpful, and that is he made individuals able to purchase insurance in pre-tax dollars. And that's something which we did in our state as well. It's a big help because right now, of course, if you get your insurance from your corporation, it's paid in pre-tax dollars, but if you have to pay for it yourself, it's not. And that kind of disparity ought to be removed, and he proposed that in his address, and I support that.
And just to change topics then, one of the other big issues among conservatives is the immigration debate. Reforming immigration, you know, securing the borders, and then what to do with the 12 to 15 million or so illegal immigrants that are already in the United States. I'm looking at your website right now, which is at mittromney.com for anybody who's listening. It's excellent. You've got a very nice layout, and you've got all the issues lined up there. What is your take on the previous Senate's version of comprehensive immigration reform? Is that the kind of direction that you're going to be going in, or are you taking a different line on that?
Well, I was not enthusiastic about the Senate's bill. The McCain-Kennedy bill proposed what seemed an awful lot like a form of amnesty. There were also Social Security benefits that ultimately became provided to people who had arrived here illegally. And there's a number of things that I found that not to be in America's best interest. In my view, there are several principles that need to be part of our immigration plan. First is secure the border. Number two, have an employment verification system. This would be a card, biometric card, that people who are not citizens would have. And before an employer hires a non-citizen, they would have to look at the card, type in the number on a computer, get verification from the federal government that this person is eligible for work in the U.S. If they hire someone not so eligible, that company would be fined, just like not paying their taxes. Those are two elements we have to put in place. And the third is, I'd like our immigration policies to welcome people who bring skills here, education, work experience that's needed in this country. We love immigration. Immigrants add a great deal to our country, but we want legal immigration. We do not want illegal immigration. I don't want to cut back on legal immigration. I'd like to expand it, but I also want to focus our legal immigration on those who can speak English, who have skills that we need, who have education that we need. Let's have an immigration policy that strengthens America rather than one that causes additional burdens to be placed upon our taxpayers.
Now, this has been a bad year for Republicans. Mitt Romney, governor of Massachusetts and candidate for the GOP nomination for president in 2008. You are a Republican in Massachusetts, which is more or less akin to being a Yankees fan in Boston. How do you think that your experience in Massachusetts equips you for running at a time when, frankly, the GOP has taken its beating over this past year or so?
Well, you know, I think as you look at anyone who's considering running for an office, you want to look at their experience, their character, and their perspective for the future. My experience is, one, having been a governor, and you can look at my record as governor, and records obviously speak a great deal louder than words. Before that, I ran the Olympics in Salt Lake City, and the Olympics was in a huge financial mess and, if you will, a crisis of confidence as well, and we got that back on track. And before that, I was in the private sector. Most of my career has been working with enterprises, businesses around the world and helping them become more successful. Sometimes I did a good job, sometimes not. But I learned a lot from that experience. And I believe that those kinds of experiences can allow a person to confront challenges, have the skills to gather good people together, to gather data, to do analysis, and then to set a course which can make America stronger. We fundamentally have to make America the kind of country for our kids and grandkids that it's been for us, a place of opportunity and safety.
Now, this is pretty early in the presidential cycle, Governor Romney. It seems that the entire presidential cycle has been accelerated. You started off, by the way, big congratulations. You started off with a bang. You had a one-day fundraising event that brought in $6.5 million and I think made everybody sit up and take notice of the Romney campaign. Do you feel that this is that this accelerated presidential cycle is a plus? I mean, or do you think that this may be stretching things out an awfully long ways? And this is not a criticism of any one particular candidate. It just seems that everybody's jumping in maybe about 7 or 8 months earlier than we traditionally have seen in presidential cycles.
Yeah, it's really really quite a surprise, isn't it? It seems to be associated with the fact that one, there's not a vice president who's running for his party's nomination. Two, the primary states have moved their primaries forward and have put them all very, very early on the calendar. And this has led to a lot of folks saying, boy, it's going to take a lot more money to run a presidential primary than it has before, so we better get started early. So you saw Senator McCain and Mayor Giuliani organize their exploratory committees last year. I organized one the beginning of this year. I think the reports are that Mike Huckabee is going to organize one tomorrow or will announce it. People have started very, very early in recognition of the changes in the primary calendar and the fact that there is no anointed nominee for either the Republican or Democratic Party at this point.
That's a good point, Governor Romney. And let me ask you another question that relates to that. We've seen that candidates now are opting out of the matching funds, the federal funds for presidential races. Hillary Clinton apparently has announced that she will not pursue matching funds. There's some question as to whether or not John McCain will stay within the system that he's actually championed over the years. Are you going to be first off? What's your feeling on working within those federal matching fund programs? And then I also would like to ask you what your position is on campaign finance reform, the BCRA, which is a big issue for some of our listeners.
Well, the McCain-Feingold, I think, was a real step backward for a lot of reasons. It's one, it's hurt our party enormously, but number two, it has not reduced the amount of money that's gone into to politics. It's just made it less under the control of candidates and the parties. And so campaign finance reform has been a real bust. That being said, those people who take federal funds, taxpayer funds to run their campaigns and then are subject to the limits of that that program are most likely guaranteeing that if they got the nomination of their party, they wouldn't be able to win the general election. So in some respects, you've almost got to say that if somebody is taking the matching funds in the federal government, they're not a real contender for the general election. And that's why I think you're going to find that those people who are the leading candidates in both parties will not take federal matching funds. But others who, you know, want a chance to have their voice heard will take those taxpayer dollars.
Governor Romney, we know you have to move on to catch your next flight here, but we'd love to invite you, have you on the show again sometime. In fact, save some time for us at the convention, won't you, please? You're going to be in our backyard. We'd love to have you.
Hey, Mitch and Ed, you're very kind. It's good to be with you.
Thank you very much, sir. Governor Mitt Romney from Massachusetts, candidate for the GOP nomination for the presidency of the United States, someone we definitely need to talk to as we move on towards the campaign season here.